Take our Bibles this evening to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16, when Jesus comes into our lives, believe me, everything changes. Praise the Lord for that, especially as we allow Him to do the work in our hearts. He can make a change in our lives that is incredible and something that we would never even imagine possible for us. So Luke chapter number 16. On Sunday mornings, we've been going through the book of Luke. This morning, we looked at the book of Revelation for a few minutes. Today, we're going to keep on in that series in the book of Luke here. We finished up before Missions Conference at the end of Luke chapter, at the beginning of Luke chapter number 15. Luke 15 is one of the more famous passages of scriptures when it talks about the prodigal son. We have not done the prodigal son. We will do the prodigal son at some point in time. But I know at our church in the last year to year and a half, we've had a number of messages through evangelists about the prodigal son. So we're going to skip over the prodigal son for right now. But this is a continuation in Jesus' teaching. If you look back, he still has left the house. That's found in Luke chapter number 14 when he's speaking about the dinner he was invited to. Remember the dinner that we showed you up here that he had, and he kind of told the Pharisees all the different things that they were struggling in. And in chapter 15, he begins talking about things that are lost. It talks about the lost sheep and how Jesus was the shepherd there, and then talks about a lost coin and a representation of the Holy Spirit seeking out those that are lost. And then you have the prodigal son. You have the God the Father. So you have God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, all in chapter 15, seeking those things that are lost. It's a combination effort that Jesus is, and the God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, all interested in seeing people saved. So why did you get that introduction? Well, in verse 16, chapter 16, verse number 1, it says the word "and." That means he's still teaching. It's still the same crowd, same group of people. You look in chapter 15, verse number 1, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him." Verse number 2 in chapter 15 says, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured." So this kind of gives you a setting that he's teaching at. He has just taught about the prodigal, the prodigal son, talked about the lost coin, talked about the lost sheep. And now he continues on. But here in chapter 16, verse number 1, he has a certain group of people he's talking to. Now everybody else is listening too, but he makes his attention to the disciples. This is intended for those that are believers. But he's also speaking to where others can hear him too. This may be one of the most difficult parables to explain and preach on. You're going to see that in a little while. We're not going to spend a lot of time in the parable. We're going to introduce it the way that he introduces it. But there's a couple verses after the parable he teaches and tells to the disciples, but also to the Pharisees, that I'm interested in tonight. So we're just going to go ahead and read through this passage of scripture and the parables and give you a little bit of a commentary here in verse number 6, chapter 16, verse number 1. "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man." So we see here that there is a certain rich man. Luke 16 is famous also for being what? It's the passage that speaks about the rich man and Lazarus and hell. And we're going to look at that next Sunday morning, Lord willing. But he talks about this rich man. It's talking a lot about money. You got the lost coin in chapter 15. You talk about the father who gives his inheritance to the younger son and goes and wastes it. And talks about a lot of different things, because this is what the Pharisees need to hear. This is what the scribes need to hear. This is what the publicans and the sinners need to hear. "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward." Now, what we know that a steward is someone who oversees the affairs of the master or the lord of that area, or for instance, a businessman would have someone that would take care of all of his affairs. We see that example about Joseph when Potiphar. And you know what? Potiphar being his master, he took care of all the affairs of Potiphar's household. He even talked about how Potiphar didn't know what was going on in his household. He trusted Joseph. And so that's what a steward is. We spent time at the end of 2017 talking about being a good steward of the life that God's given us, the time that he's given us. And there's a lot of different things. Are we being a good steward with what God has given to us? "There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods." Now, in this stewardship, you're going to see that this master, this Lord, is not referring to Jesus Christ. You're going to see that they do not have the capital letters when it uses the word master and Lord here. This, I believe, is talking about a human that has a lot of money and has a steward. And it has been told here that the person who was a steward had wasted his goods. So the master And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Referring to the fact that he has wasted his living. Once again, people will do things with your money that they would never do with their own money. Kind of reminds me of a government a little bit. They'll definitely spend money that is not theirs, but when it's their own money, they won't even pay for health care. But they expect us to. But that's a whole other subject. But here, the steward has wasted the money of the master. And he called him and said, in verse number 2, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. So he's saying this to the disciples. Now, I want you to understand that someday they're going to have to give an account. Someday you're going to have to give an account, as we learned last week with Brother Barnhouse during the missions conference. Someday we'll stand before Jesus, and someday we'll give an account of what we've done. And I thought this passage of Scripture went along because it talks a lot about money. Nothing wrong with preaching about money. God, Jesus Christ preached about it. He did it quite a few times. Now, sometimes pastors either hit it too hard and they preach about it too often. It's a hobby horse. And sometimes they're too weak in the fact they don't talk about it at all. But I believe that the Lord speaks about it, and it's important we understand. We're going to give an account on how we use God's money. He said, well, I just gave God his money. We gave him that 10%, that tithe. We learned that everything comes from God. Everything we have belongs to God. And our stewardship lessons and messages at the end of 2017. Verse number 3, now this steward is a very deceitful man. He is very unjust. He really does not have much character showed except for the fact he's honest about one thing. You're going to see that in a little while. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? In chapter number 15, the prodigal son, when the prodigal comes to himself, he thinks, okay, I can return to my father. I can repent. I can get things right. Now the unjust steward, he doesn't do that. He asks this question, what shall I do? He said, for my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. He says, I'm losing my job. He says, I cannot dig. Physical labor is out the window. He doesn't want to do that. Maybe he physically cannot do it. I'm guessing he's probably been so much not doing physical labor for such a long time, he feels like he can't physically do it, not willing to do it. Second thing is, the only thing I see honest about this guy, to beg, I am ashamed. He says, I'm too ashamed to beg. Now, the welfare system back then in that area, what they would do, they would have to sit on the side of the road and they had to ask for money. So he's trying to figure out a way what he should do. What can he do next? He's losing his job. No one's going to hire him after they understood that he was unjust and that he wasted his goods. Verse number 4, he says, I am resolved what to do. He says, I've been thinking about this. I've come up with an idea. That when I am put out of stewardship, when I'm kicked out of my job, then may receive me into their houses. So what he's saying here is, I need to figure out a way to get into somebody else's house. He said, because of the fact that I can't dig, and because I'm too ashamed to beg, let me try to be deceitful. Let me try to be unjust. Let me try to figure out how to make a favor to someone else so they can pay me back a favor later. And let's see how he does this. Verse number 5. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors. Now, once again, these are not people that owe him money. It's people that owe his Lord money. Now, once again, his stewardship, he would have had a ring of the house. He would have been able to make these decisions. And since he hasn't been thrust out of the house, he goes and he talks to the people that owe his Lord money. Once again, you see a little L there. And I think it's referring to the fact that this is not a description of Jesus Christ and the end and our judgment, but instead what's happening with just regular people. He said, so he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. So his meaning, his thoughts of fixing thing is not to go get a job, not to try to make an honest living. He says, okay, this guy owes my Lord 100 barrels of oil or 100 things of oil, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take and say, you sit down, you write me a bill with 50, we'll call it even. Once again, he's doing this with his Lord's money, not his own money. So he's being deceitful. What he's doing is he's making a favor to this guy that owes the money. And his thought is that if this guy is wealthy enough and I saved him all this money on this oil, that when I'm kicked out of the house, then I can go live with that guy. He'll take care of me for a little while because of what I did for him. Let's keep on going. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80, which means 80. Now, I don't know why the first guy got a better break than the other guy. Maybe he understood these people, and maybe he knew, he judged, hey, if I give this guy half off, he's going to still help me. If I give this guy 20% off, he's going to help me also. Verse number 8, And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. And if I was calling an unjust judge earlier, I apologize, it's the unjust steward. The judge is not unjust, it's his money. He says, look, you've done things wisely in the fact that you've prepared for your future here in this world. Knowing that he had done these things, he knows that he's opened up his future in this world so it wouldn't be so bad. Then he says, for the children of this world are in their generation, and I have that words, in their generation, wiser than the children of light. So he's saying here that they're wiser than the children of spiritual matters. They're wiser in the things of this world. In this world, they know more and they understand more. They're willing to be deceitful. They're willing to be unjust. They're willing to consider how to make things better for them here in this world. They're willing to take their money and play with it and cause themselves, even in deceitful ways, to make this world better for them. Verse number 9, it says, And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the man of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Now, once again, these couple verses may be a little hard to understand, and we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but what I believe he's saying here, he's speaking to his disciples. And he's saying to them, make to yourself friends of man of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, that... Now, he's talking about riches there. He says, I want you to make yourself a friend of them. I want you to understand how to use money. I want you to understand how to use riches. I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with having money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. There's nothing wrong with having riches. But he says, I want you to be a friend of these riches, and I want you to know how to use these riches to be a blessing to others. Last week, we were challenged over and over and over, and being able to sit with Brother Barnhouse and sit and listen to the other missionaries, it challenged my heart about finances and money and stewardship, that what are we going to use those for? And he's saying here that if we will learn to use it for the right things, that when ye fail, and that words when you fail, I think is referring to the day we die, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, different people had different understandings of this, and what I think the Bible is saying here is that when we get to heaven, someday we're going to meet the people that our finances help reach. Think about it. Someday, there might be somebody in Africa that's in heaven. I'm sure there's going to be many people in Africa. But maybe because of Brother Barnhouse's ministry there, and because you help support Brother Barnhouse's ministry there, you know what happens? That you get a reward for that. Someone may say thank you for the fact that you help give, so that way I'm in heaven today because of your gifts. There's someone I know that gave to be able to build one of the churches over in Africa. And I think Brother Barnhouse one time says it costs $1,000 to put a roof on the church, or $1,000 of the type of building it is that even build the whole church. I don't know what the vernacular is. And I think about it that every single person who gets saved in that church will receive a reward for that because someone was willing to help build that church. And I'm not saying you have to give so much or you have to do something certain, but it's kind of neat to think about it that way. You take your wealth, you take what it says here, the mammon of unrighteousness, the wealth that they've been talking about here, the wealth they were talking about in the last chapter, you said you'd be a friend of that. You know how to use it rightly. It's not something you let be your Lord. It's not something you let be your master. We're going to see that in a second. But instead, it's something that you use so the day you die, you're going to be thankful when eternal habitations happen. You're going to be thankful in heaven because, you know, we lay up rewards up in heaven. We can't lay up rewards here in this earth and the idea that it's going to last after we die. No, that's what the unjust steward did. And that's what the Lord said. You know what? You made some provisions for yourself here. And he's saying, look, the children of light might not, the children of light, those that are Christians, those that are going to heaven, might not make provisions here in this world like everybody else does, but we can make our provisions up in heaven someday. Let's keep on going. Verse number 10, this is one of the verses I'm interested in looking at. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. We'll come back to that in a minute. If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now, verse number 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 14, and remember who was around there. There's publicans there, there's sinners there, there was Pharisees and there were scribes. He was speaking to the disciples. And the Pharisees also who were covetous, we see their problem, is they have the wrong ideas when it comes to money. They have the wrong ideas when it comes to finances. They would use their position, they would use their authority, they would use their friendships to kind of pad their pockets. But we saw in chapter number 15 that they were murmuring about them reaching the publicans and sinners. They were people who were lost, they were people who needed Christ, but they cared nothing about them. They cared about what? Money. And it says here, heard all these things and they derided him. That word deride kind of gives the idea that they stuck up their nose to him. They laughed at him. They scorned at him. The other time where this word is used is talking about the thief on the cross that was mocking Jesus. And verse number 15, and he said unto them, ye, talking about the Pharisees, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. They're people who care about what men think. They care about what others think, and they justify their actions before men. But look at this, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What a powerful thought there. You know, he says, look, you might be justified before men. You may be looked up upon as religious leaders. You may tithe, you may fast, you may wear the fancy clothes. He says, but God knows your heart. And so when it comes to this idea, when it comes to money and it comes to the finances and being faithful in those things that which are least and being faithful with those things that are greater, being unjust in those things that are least and unjust in those things that are much, God knows your heart. You could probably find anyone to agree with you when it comes to finances. I've heard lots of people say lots of things. I've heard lots of good people say different things. I've heard people say, you know what, I'm going to give my tithe and not a cent more because that's all God commands. And I understand that, but I also think they're missing out on the blessing. I've heard people say that that tithe is under the law. Well, if you go back and you read your Bible, tithe is actually before the law. So it's not we're not still under the law. It was actually written way back when Abraham gave the tithe. So it's not have anything to do with the Jewish law. It was repeated in the law. There's lots of different things when it comes to finances and monies, but God knows your heart. God wants you to be faithful in those things that are least. Let's keep on going. And it says in verse number 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. So verse 16 saying here, look, things have changed. It's a different dispensation. When John came, things have came. The kingdom of God is now preached. It's not about the law. It's not about the prophets. Verse 17, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. And he's still referring to the truth that's there. Verse 18, some people would say, well, this is kind of a weird spot for this verse. But the reason why this is here, I believe, is because the Pharisees were ones that would oftentimes divorce their wives. And he's speaking them and reminding them of some truths. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. So he puts that there and he helps them understand, look, you justify yourself in so many things and so many different ways. You even justify yourself when it comes to these things of divorce and adultery. But he's reminding, remember, God knows your heart. You may look perfect on the outward. You may look fancy. You may look great. People might look up to you. People might even call you a teacher or master like they used to do there. They might look at you as some, but God knows your heart. So here's just a couple things and we'll be done. I want you to go back up to verse number 11. Hopefully you got a kind of a good working understanding of the parable. You could spend a lot of time studying that, but verse number 11 is where God kind of draw my heart to. You think about it, the Bible says, if therefore ye have not been faithful, I'm sorry, verse number 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Now, we must discern what is least. We must discern what is much. See, there's a vital connection to between what we do at this moment and what we will do for eternity. What is least? If we think about it as a Christian, the children of light, spiritual things, the things that would be least is the things of this world. The things that would be least are things that happen on this world, the physical things. Money would be one of those things. Our possessions would be one of those things. Those are the things that are least. And he says, look, if you get that right, he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. You're going to be faithful also in those things that count most, spiritual things. So when my thinking here is, you know, what has God given us an opportunity to be faithful with? What has God given you? I know sometimes we use this message and we use this idea that, hey, just because I have a small Sunday school class, just because maybe we have a small church, or maybe because I have a small paycheck, God doesn't really care. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to be prepared as a teacher. I don't have to do the work as a teacher. Or because our church is smaller, maybe I don't have to study as much. I don't have to preach as well. You know, Wednesday night, we don't have as many people out here. If I came up to you and said, hey, look, there's only 30, 40, 50 people out here, I don't feel like I should have to spend as much time studying. You guys, since you're so small, what's the big deal, right? Let's just read some verses and go home. What would you think about that? I'm not being faithful. I'm not. That would be wicked. That would be unjust to the things that God has provided for us. So when it comes to our bus routes and our Sunday schools and our ministries, whether they be ministries of cleaning, whether they be ministries of Sunday school teachers or ministries of being faithful, some people say, well, I'm just one person. What's the big deal? No. Those that are faithful, it says here, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Can a Christian judge what is important the same way an unsaved person can judge it? No, absolutely not. Through the eyes of faith, one is to see the difference between the least and the much. We're talking about the least being the things of this earth and the much being the things that are heavenly. The things that are least are the things on the earth and of the earth. The things that are the most are the things that are in heavenly view. If that is true, this verse could be interpreted like this, and one preacher wrote it this way. He that is faithful in that which is of the earth is faithful also in those things that are of the heavenly view. And he that is unjust in the things that are put on his hands on this earth, things are least and unjust in that which is much. Now, I'm not trying to, that's not another version of the Bible. It's just putting it and the idea there that the things of this world, we need to be faithful with them. They're not as important as the things of the, they're not as important as heavenly things. But if we can get the things of this world that draw us away from God right, you know what's going to happen? Everything else is going to be right too. Go ahead and take your Bibles and look down a few verses. Verse number 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What the Bible is teaching here is that either we're going to serve God or we're going to serve something else. That mammon's talking about finances. So are we going to allow God to lead and direct us, or are we going to allow mammon and the things of this world to lead us and direct us? If you go back to verse number 10, it says, he that is faithful. He that is faithful. Sometimes people say, okay, if God allow me to have a small Sunday school class, and if I'm faithful at it, that means that God's going to make me more faithful over bigger things later on. And there's some parables that teach that and rewards. But what it's saying here is a person who is already faithful in the little things, the least things, the things of this world, you're going to also be faithful in the things that really count. That word is in a reference that he's faithful in that which is least. He's not going to be, he not will surely be. He's already found faithful in the little things. And because he's faithful in the least, he'll also be faithful in the most, in the much. Pastor, what you're getting at? So many times we try to spend time trying to get people to focus on, hey, look, be faithful here, be faithful here. It's little things. But what we need to worry about is being sure that people are right. If your heart is right, and if you're doing what's right, and you care about the things of the Lord, guess what? You're going to care about those things that are least. You're going to say, you know what? The things of this world do not matter. It's the least, and I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to choose to do what's right. And that's when you come to the spot. Remember, he is surrounded by these hypocrites, these Pharisees. They're covetous. They deride him. They mock him. They laugh at him. They say, look, that's a peasant. That's someone from Nazareth. He doesn't even have any money. He's talking to us about money. Isn't that hilarious? But they missed the whole point. He's speaking to his disciples, says, make sure you get this right. When you are faithful on the things that are least, the things of this world, then you also, the Bible says, that which is least is faithful also, and that's much. Here's the next thing. The second part of this, it says, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also much. So if we're unjust with the things of this world, and sometimes people say, it's my stuff, nobody has a right to say anything about it. I've heard people say that. Preachers have no business talking about money. Preachers have no business talking about finances. But the Bible says it over and over and over about it. He's teaching his disciples. This is important. He says, look, if you get this right, then you're going to get other things right. If you don't get this right, you're not going to get other things right either. That's when he says at the end of verse number 13, ye cannot serve God and mammon. The person who serves God will use the mammon, the things of this earth, for God's glory. The person who serves mammon will attempt to use God for his own gain and his advantage. Listen to this one more time. This is a quote. The person who serves God will use mammon, the things of this earth, for God's glory. The person who serves mammon, which means they're serving after just to become rich, will attempt to use God for his own gain, his own advantage. Isn't that what the unjust steward did earlier? He used his master, his lord, to his gain. What happened to him in the end? He was unjust. He was thrown out. And when it comes to us, when it comes to our finances, when it comes to our money, we're not going to be able to serve God and mammon. We talked about this morning, first love. We talked about my wife and me and our first love and how the benchmarks are always wanting to be there, always thinking about them, always willing to, having a consuming passion to want to be with that person. That's what a first love is. Having a consuming passion to want to think about that person. Having a consuming passion to want to do for that person. You know what? There's only one first love. And what it's saying here is you can't serve both. It's either God's going to be first and God's going to be Lord, or something else will be. They use the illustration of money here because people struggle with money. People struggle with these thoughts. People struggle with the love of money being the root of all evil. He uses this illustration. Look, you think you can have both. And the same thing when it comes to our first love. We think we can love God and we can love our family just as much. And we think we can love God and we can love our sports and our hobbies and our interests just as much. And we can love our country. You know what? No. When there's a first love, you want to spend time with them all the time. You want to think about them all the time. You want to do for them all the time. Guess what? There's a first love. That's when the Bible talks about those brothers, sisters, even husband, wives, and about the comparison there, that as much as we love God to show a comparison, that it looks like we even hate our family because we love God so much. It's a comparison there, but because of the love that you have. And here he's saying, look, you cannot serve God and mammon. People tried to do it, but there's things that keep people out of church because they're still serving the mammon. They allow things in their hearts and lives. So what do we apply this to tonight? There's two thoughts for me. Number one, am I being faithful with the things that are least? What are the least things? It's the things of this world. Am I being faithful with what God has given me here in this world? Because if I can learn to be faithful with those and have the right perspective with that, God's saying you're going to have the right perspective when it comes to the things that matter most. Because you're not laying up treasures here in this world. You're laying treasures up in heaven. The second thing is, who am I serving today? That word mammon, I know, is referring to riches and money. But in all reality, we serve something. There is something that has our attention. There is something that has our time. There is something that has our interests. Is it God or is it something else? And so when we come to the thoughts, when it comes to our missions, when it comes to our giving, when it comes to everything as a full circle, Jesus is teaching his disciples, don't make this mistake. don't love money and serve money more than me. When you say, well, I don't do that, well, let's look at our lives to make sure. Because when we're faithful in those things that are least, those things that don't really count, those things that don't seem like they're important, God says we're going to be faithful in the other ones. But when we're unjust, when it comes to the things of this world, those things we like to hold to so tightly, he says we're going to be unjust in the other things too. Don't let the love of money ruin your lives. I know some people, all they want to do is talk about money. All they're interested in is talking about money. All that they have a desire for is because that is what they're serving. This evening, who are you serving? And the great thing is, if you're struggling in this, realize many have done it before and become faithful in that which is least now. Become and say, God, I want you to be my master. I want you to be my Lord. I don't want this filthy lucre to be the things I work towards. So let's finish up with this. Verse number 15. And he said unto them, talking to the Pharisees, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. While even sitting here preaching, I'm sure there's people that are justifying themselves to themselves. Well, I did this and I did that, and which is all good. Like I said, it's between you and God. I do my best not to know anything about the finances and what people give. Sometimes people come up and say, hey, can you give this to Miss Sharon or my wife? You know, I don't like taking money from anybody just because I don't really want to know what's going on or anything like that, because that's between you and God. But God knows your heart. And there are people, and I remember I struggled with this before I entered into the ministry. And I used to justify myself saying, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that, there's reasons. And I made myself convince myself what I was doing was fine. But God knew my heart. He knew what I loved more than him. And it wasn't until God got a hold of my heart that all this came clear. I wasn't going to be faithful in those things that are most important in this world until I can be faithful in those things that count least. So let's be faithful in those things of this world, because he's saying if you're faithful and you get this right, if you become a friend of the unrighteous mammon, then someday it's going to have eternal rewards, because God's going to be able to take that and bless that and use that. So you can go back and you can talk about the preaching, the sermon, and say, you know, be faithful to that which is least. You can apply that. You know, what's that in your hand? What is it that you have? You know, do you have just a small Sunday school class? Be faithful there, and you know, someday it may become much. Those are all great principles. But what he's teaching here is, get the things of this world right. Have the right view of it, heavenly view, that the things in this world are just a passing through. That's where moth can come and rust can corrupt and thieves can break through and steal. But if you have the right mindset of the things of this world, you're going to have the right mindset of spiritual things too. I pray God speaks to your heart tonight about us not justifying our finances and our worldly things in our own eyes, but to ask God, I want to know my heart about it. God, speak to my heart. And I know you say there's many people who are faithful here, many people who give, many people who do this and that. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that. If this doesn't apply to you, then great. But it's in the Bible because it applies to a lot of people. They hold back the things of this world because they think they're entitled to it. And Jesus says, be faithful with it. Even though it might not be that important, be faithful with it. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.